Dark Wraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, academic classroom lectures in business and economics recorded for podcast. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 4 for Spring Semester 2010. Lecture 16, delivered on March 25, 2010. The title of this lecture is The Marginal Cost of Capital.
Today, the marginal cost of capital. I can teach the marginal cost of capital in a lot of different ways. I could do it with PowerPoints, I could do it with a lecture, but I will tell you this, there are a lot of things in this world, the best way to learn it is to do it and struggle with it and have someone hovering over you like me who can yell and fart at you. So we are going to do this together, the marginal cost of capital exercise. And in so doing, I will be able to explain this is why we are doing this at this step and go through from beginning to end to determine what projects we should accept among those that are presented to us as opportunities. So to begin, we have the narrative of this problem. The narrative describes Stonewood Products, and it tells you the capital structure is 0.35 debt, 0.65 common equity. Notice that in this problem, there is no preferred stock, which should rend joy into your hearts. That's one less thing to deal with in the problem. In the problems in a course like this, we assume that the company has found its optimal capital structure and that it wishes to hold that capital structure going forward. So we will be dedicated to the task of bringing forth capital to this company in such a way that it will retain that 35% debt, 65% common equity balance. Now, if we get into the world of finding the optimal capital structure, that's a whole different ball game. We don't do that here. That's an awful lot like work. And we're not going to dedicate ourselves to that task at all. But this company, and I do pay attention to the details as I go through here. When you get to your next quiz, which will be very soon, hint, hint, when you get to your next quiz and when you get to the exam, I will lay out the problem in this way. But you have to, very similar to this, I should say, but you have to be careful because the details that are described can vary somewhat. Now, in this problem, we have a manager that is, first of all, knows that the company has 40,000 shares of common stock outstanding. And the firm's tax rate is 40%. Now, it's possible that I would not tell you how many shares are outstanding. But in this problem, I have to because something else I tell you will need you to know the number of shares outstanding. But 40% marginal tax rate. Now, we have this company in a position where between $0 and $250,000, it can borrow at an interest rate of 10%. If it wants more than $250,000, the interest rate will go up to 12%. Now, we know that this company's stock price is $50 per share, and they have just declared a $5 per share dividend. Now, watch that. They have just declared a $5 per share dividend. So the question that I would pose to you is this. Is that D0 or is that D1? because you have to read the rest of that sentence. They have declared a $5 per share dividend that will be paid in 1 year. So am I talking about a D0 or a D1? Because it matters when we do the calculation of the cost of equity capital. Is that D0 or D1 that I just gave you there? That's D1. Watch it, because that's one of those things that could vary from one problem to the next. So just keep an eye on what exactly I am talking about in terms of the dividend. Here I'm making your problem a little easier because I'm telling you the D1. If I told you D0, you would have to have grown that one period to get to your common equity. You would have left it alone to get to a preferred stock cost of capital. But here I've given you D1, so we have the common equity has, we're pretty much set to get common equity cost of capital. Now moving along here with this problem, I pointed out that the company's expected growth rate is 9%. That's going to be, of course, something that we'll need because you recall those formulas I gave you for cost of capital require a growth rate for several of them. Flotation cost for new equity is set at 8% of market price. So if I tell you a percentage of market price, the first thing you do is get a dollar amount that you can deduct from the price of the stock. So the price of the stock is $50. We would assume that if it goes out there and raises equity capital, we are hoping that the price will stay firm at 50. In the real world, it might not. But for purposes of a class like this, we'll say, okay, it's going to stay firm at 50. We sell some more stock at $50. So we have to say in the formula, P minus F. So in this case, it would be the price 50 minus the flotation cost in dollars, which would be 8% of $50. Now, moving on in this problem, the managers are considering several investment opportunities. They have declared a $5 per share dividend. Now, we also see up in the top part of the narrative that the company's net income is $1.2 million. Now, that will not be the amount of money that the company has available for new investments because this company pays a dividend. So watch my language in the narrative. I might tell you how much they have after they pay the dividend. In this case, I'm telling you how much they have pre-dividend. I need what's available to invest. That would be after dividends. So why did I tell you the 40,000 shares of common stock? What good was that to tell you? Did I just throw some numbers in there? Which I could do, yeah. And how much will it be? How much? Bingo. I said they're going to pay a $5 dividend. They're going to hold that dividend, pay it out. So that means that 40,000 shares times $5 a share, that's $200,000. So available for new investments, available for investments out of internally generated equity would not be $1.2 million, it would be $1 million. Notice that the internal narrative is crucial to being able to cut through this problem. Once you get that in numbers, what you need, the problem actually will flow relatively straight, simply. You just do what I do. Step one, step two, step three, and you'll get through it. But you've got to read the narrative carefully, really carefully. Okay, now we've given, I laid out some the investments that are available, the opportunities. Project A would cost an initial investment $500,000, return 16%. Project B would have an initial investment of $1.6 million and return 12%. Project C would have an initial investment of $600,000 and pay 15%. And Project D would have an initial investment of $1.5 million and return 18%. We will need that at near the end of the problem of this entire exercise. We don't need to worry about that right away. The first thing that we're going to deal with is the component costs of capital. The component costs of capital. And that's what you do first, is you get your cost of debt under the cheap debt scenario, and then your cost of debt when it gets a little more expensive in this problem. And then you're going to get your cost of internally generated equity, and you're going to get your cost of new equity. Now, I caution there would be one more in there. If there were preferred stock, you'd need to get your cost of preferred. In this problem, you won't have any cost of preferred. On a quiz or an exam, I'll leave preferred out. It's just one more layer of work. So here we go. Down the grinder, one step at a time. And what I'm doing here, by the way, you notice that I'm sort of leading you one point at a time through the problem. Do this, then do this, then do this, then do this. Okay, now let me walk you through here just the formulas. First of all, the cost after tax of debt is the cost of debt times 1 minus the tax rate. So that's going to be the first thing you do, is you get your cost of debt. There will be two costs of debt. The cost of cheap debt up to $250,000 borrowed, and then there will be the cost of more expensive debt if you're borrowing more than $250,000. So, the first thing we'll do is get these two costs of debt. One of them would be 10% debt at 1 minus the tax rate of 40%. The second would be your 12% cost of debt times 1 minus 0.40. Those would be the two debt component costs of capital. The cost when the debt was cheap and the cost when the debt went up. Now, realistically, you could see more tiers of debt. Like, it might jump again at 700,000. Did I do that right? Yeah, 7.2%. I hope I did that calculation right. 10% times 1 minus 0.40 is 6%. 12% times 1 minus 0.40 is 7.2%. This is the after-tax cost of debt to the company. Okay? That's not hard. You just pound those out. Now we have to get the cost of existing common. The cost of existing common. And you remember the formula for that would be the cost of stock is going to be your dividend at period one divided by your price of the stock, and then that result plus the growth rate. Do not use a flotation cost because they're not selling stock. They're using internally generated equity. And again, for God's sake, use dividend one. On the exam, I recall last semester, I gave D0 in a growth rate, and of course everyone used D0, or not everyone, but most people used D0, and of course that wiped out the rest of the problem. The rest of the problem went to hell. Use D1. Here I've given you D1. That's not necessarily going to be the case the next time. So, crank that out. Yeah. The cost of existing equity, the cost of your internally generated equity, the cost of the stock that is already out there. How much does it cost you to use your shareholders' claim? Because you gave them some money, you gave them 200 grand, but you kept a million, and now we want to know what that million is costing you. Because in a very real sense, you could actually use that million to buy back the stock, or at least some of it. So if you were to pound that out, what do you get for your answer? Now, this one's not complicated. What do you get for your answer? How much? 1.9? No, you're off by a factor of 10. What is it? 19%. Now this is indicative. Notice that the cost of equity is high compared to the cost of debt. There's nothing unusual about that in the real world. Equity capital costs a lot compared to debt capital. It just does. What happens, though, is as you rely more and more on debt in your capital structure, the cost of debt gets worse, and it begins to catch up to the cost of equity capital and possibly overrun it. Now, the last component cost of capital would be what it's going to cost you if you have to go out and raise equity capital. The cost of new equity is going to be the dividend at period one over P minus your flotation cost plus G. Because you will have to pay to have that stock floated. You'll pay the flotation cost. And in this example, and make sure you know, that's a dollar of value. In a problem, a live fire problem for a quiz or an exam, I might give you the dollar value. I might give you the cost as a percent of the price per share. But one way or the other, you have to take that flotation cost off as a dollar amount from the price of the stock. And if you do that, what number do you get? What is it? 19.4. Two decimal places, always for me. 19.87. Yes, I'm being a bitch here. 19.87%. That's the cost of new equity. Almost a full percent more than the cost of existing equity. Notice that as you reach further and further into the capital markets, you are facing higher and higher cost on your debt. Now, before we go on, something that is not asked on this sheet that I do want to be able for you to do is I want you to calculate the existing weighted average cost of capital of this firm. What is the weighted average cost of capital? For any firm, it would be the weight of debt in the portfolio times the after-tax cost of debt plus the weight of preferred in the portfolio times the cost of preferred plus the weight of existing equity times the cost of existing equity. First things first. Obviously, in this problem, we have no preferred, so there will be no weight of preferred. Second, why am I not putting in new stock in the weighted average cost of capital formula? Why am I not putting that in there? Yeah, that's right. It's not there. We're talking about its existing capital structure. So we are not at the point where we're raising capital yet. This is just where we are now. So for our purposes in this problem, the weight of debt in the optimal capital structure that this company has determined is 0.35. The after-tax cost of debt to this company right now is 10%, plus a zero weight, plus the weight of stock, which is 0.65, times the cost of existing equity. So this would be the weighted average cost of capital, whack. So you whack that out, and what do you get? What say you? And by the way, yeah. Did I do? I'm just testing your ass. Yeah, it was 6%. Yes, that's good. You caught what I did there. I meant for you to see if you could catch my. Okay. The hell with it. Oh, God. Whatever. Okay. The weighted average cost of capital, by the way, you're going to see that again in just a minute. But I want you to calculate it now. What do you get for the WACC on this company? The existing weighted average cost of capital, what is it? Yeah, what the hell is it, as a matter of fact? What do you find? Yes, 14.45. And I'm serious, you want to make sure that you can get this here, because when you get home, if you can't get it here, it's going to be a lot harder for you to get it at home, and then I won't be with you, coddling you, and treating you like my own children. Or, God, I don't want to think about that. I don't have enough room for all of you at my place. And stay on my damn fridge. Where was I? That's your weighted average cost of capital. I want you to make sure you can do these numbers here, because the numbers get more intense, the calculation does, as we move forward. At the end, it just suddenly lightens up. But we're about to drop into what would technically be called some real mofo territory here. Here we go. We are now going to calculate breakpoints. As this company begins to use money to engage these projects, it's going to draw from its cheapest sources of capital first, use those to pay the bills to get these projects going. And as it goes forward, it will step into more and more money out. So it will have to bring more and more money in. At some point, the cost of that money is going to jump on it, because there's only so much money it can get at 6% after taxes. There's only so much money it can get at 19%. That means that what we are about to do is see exactly where the breaking points are on the cost of capital. If I look at my cheapest capital, what's my cheapest capital here? Debt. Yes, sure, it's debt. No doubt about it. Even before taxes, it was cheap. After taxes, it's a darn bargain. So I'm going to say, okay, now I could go up to $250,000, borrow $250,000, okay? I could borrow up to $250,000. Now that would be, now my optimal capital structure is 35% debt. So whatever capital I would raise in a first round to handle projects cheaply, that would be 35% of that total capital, 0.35C. So what I do then is say, all right, if $250,000 is 35% of how much I can raise cheapo, then I can say $250,000 divided by 0.35 is my first break point for debt. That's my break point. Because above that, okay, just do that. Calculate. Go, do that. The break point will be at the point where that debt gets more expensive, divided by its weight in the capital structure. It will be the point where that debt becomes more expensive, divided by the weight in the capital structure. In other words, what do you get for the number here? Don't talk so fast. What? 285. So, $35 of $714,285.71 is $250,000. So I could burn money up to $714,285.71, financing 35% of it with debt. and still stay at the cheap debt. Let me say that again. Some of you are looking at the huh? Let me say that again. I could burn money clear up to $714,285.71. And 35% of that would be debt, right, in the optimal capital structure. So that would mean that clear up to using $714,285.71, I'd be using cheap debt. Because I could just go that far and I'd be borrowing. See, suppose I spent $500,000. $500,000 on projects. 35% of $500,000 would be debt in the optimal capital structure, which means that $175,000, well, I could borrow $175,000 at 6% after taxes. I could borrow $200,000 at 6%. I can borrow clear up to $250,000 at 6%, which means that the total amount that I'm using in money could be a lot more than that because only 35% of what I'm using is debt. This, what I've done here is I've calculated a total capital burn breakpoint. Now I'm going to go to the next one. I know that at $714,285.71, I've reached the limit of $250,000 on cheap debt. Because once I go above $714,285.71, I have to borrow money at the higher rate. There's no crime in that. I just have to recognize that at $714,285.71, I've reached my limit of $250,000 of cheap borrowed money. And then debt will get expensive. Whatever. I just have to recognize it's going to get more expensive at that point. So I've calculated what is called the first break point. Now, if debt has tiers where you would be calculating the debt break points up, you would do each one of those break points. Like if there was another break point, let's say $600,000, I do $600,000 over 0.35, and I just calculate each of the break points. What I'm going to do with these breakpoints later is I'm going to use these graphically like poles sticking up in the air. And that'll tell me where I hit a wall and I have to climb it to a higher cost of capital. But for now, I've found the one and only breakpoint on debt. There was just one debt jump. So I found the breakpoint on debt. Now I know, okay, debt's going to be more expensive. We keep moving forward using capital. Where do I hit my next wall? Because sooner or later, I'm going to use up my internally generated equity. I'm going to use up my after dividends internal funds. Somewhere along the way, I'm going to be burning up my internal funds. So let me see what my second breakpoint is. My second breakpoint will be my equity breakpoint, where I have used up all of my internal net income after dividends. So I would say to myself, all right, how much money do I have in the bank in net income after I pay my dividends? How much money do I have in the bank? I have $1 million. Okay, now how much is $1 million in my cap? What is my capital structure? That's 65%. So I now know that $1 million would be 65% of how much I could burn. The other 35% would be the debt that I just worked out. So what total amount would I be eating up here? Breakpoint Sebas is $1 million over 0.65, which comes out to be what? $1,500,000. Yeah, 461. 461 54? Okay. Notice the step-by-step. In calculating these breakpoints, divide the debt limit by its weight. That gets you a breakpoint. If there is more than one debt limit, divide each one to get your successive breakpoints. Then you go and you do your equity breakpoint. And in this case, I see that at the end of the day, my second breakpoint, where I now have to go out and raise money through a common stock offering, is at a total amount of capital burned of $1,538,461.51. And it would be at that point in expenditures on projects that I would no longer be getting cheap debt, and I would no longer have any money in the bank from my net income after dividends. I would have used up all of my resources of debt and existing internally generated equity. So at this point, I have hit the next wall. The wall of, effectively, the one where my only resource after this is the capital markets in terms of the equity capital markets. I used up all my debt resources, cheap debt. That went away as soon as my projects cost more than $714,285.71. I used up my internally generated equity when my project costs had hit $1,538,461.54. So if I keep going, there's no reason why I wouldn't keep going. Don't get me wrong. But if I keep going above $1,538,461.54 in expenditures, I am having to pay for really expensive money. My debt is costing a lot. My equity is costing a lot. So now we have the two breakpoints. Notice that I put three there. Don't let me bluff you on an exam or a quiz. I might put five breakpoint lines. If there are only two breakpoints, there are only two breakpoints. Okay? But if there are two breakpoints, there will be three marginal costs of capital. Now, what I mean by that is, what is the cost, not of the average dollar that you are using for projects, what is the cost of the last dollar you are using for projects? This is where we get to the marginal cost of capital. The marginal cost of capital, yeah. Yes, there would. And if there were more than one tier of debt cost, there would be another breakpoint. And not really, unless you want to argue, and this is something that I've actually seen. I remember a really intensive problem in MBA where they were trying to get rid of the real slowpokes in MBA in an investments course or in a business finance course. What we said was that if you sell, I think it was something like, if you sell 200,000 shares of stock, it won't dent the stock price that is there now. But if you were to push it and try to sell more than a certain number of shares of stock, then the price would collapse down a little. So that created another cost of capital tier. And I think it was like $20 if you sell up. It's like $20 if you sell up to 200,000 shares, but if you try to sell more than 200,000 shares, the stock price is going to collapse down to $16. So, you know, essentially you're flooding the market, supply goes up, price goes down. So there was that second tier that happened on the equity. Thank God we're not going to do that here because, as I recall, it was an awful lot like work back then. So Now, let me do this. Back in the old days, we just started taking on our first project. We spent our first dollar on our first project. Well, that dollar would have come from a combination of cheap debt and the retained earnings of the company, you know, what we had gotten in net income after we paid our dividends. The money that we spent in the first round on projects, when we first, our first dollar, would have been at a marginal cost of capital, what I will call MCC sub 1, of the weight of debt, which was 0.35, times the cost of debt. The original cost of debt, back when we were just first started using money for new projects, was 6%. Plus the weight of equity, which is 0.65, times the cost of our internally generated equity, the money that we're just pulling out of the bank from net income after dividends. Well, that was 19% money. So your marginal cost of capital, your first marginal cost of capital, comes out to be 14.45%. Well, have you seen that number somewhere before today? Yeah, that's your weighted average cost of capital. Your first marginal cost of capital tier will be your WACC. That should give you some comfort if it comes out to be the same thing. As a matter of fact, don't even waste your time. If you've done the WACC right, you've got your first marginal cost of capital right. Okay? Are you good on that one? Sweet. But then times get ugly. You hit your first wall where cost of a component jumps at $714,285.71. So that at that first breakpoint one, the marginal cost, the cost of the last dollar, suddenly jumps. You spend your 715th dollar, it's suddenly going to cost you more because you've used up your $250,000 of cheap debt, and now the bank's going to tap you a little harder. So at breakpoint one, the marginal cost of capital suddenly jumps. At MCC sub 2, we are now 35% debt, 0.35, times the cost of debt here, which has jumped to 7.2%, plus 0.65, we're still 65% of the money we're using for projects is still coming from money we earned, internally generated equity. So the next part of the MCC sub 2 is still 19%. Because we haven't gone through all of our money in the bank yet. We haven't gone through all of our money in the bank yet. I want to make sure you see that. We're still good with money in the bank. It's just that the money that we're borrowing for 35% of our capital expenditures has gotten a little more expensive now. Okay? So, the MCC sub 2, 0.35 times 7.2% plus 0.65 times 19%, survey says 14.87. But there will come a final reckoning. We will eventually use up the money that is in internally generated equity, the retained earnings money. We will eventually go through that. Where do we go through that? At breakpoint two, at a total expenditure level on new projects of $1,538,461.54, we're out of money in the bank. We can still get our debt money. We have no more money in the bank, so we have to go to the broker and say, raise equity money. So, at breakpoint two, when we spend our $1,538,462nd dollar, the cost of capital jumps again. Because we don't have any money in the bank. So we are now going to have to calculate the marginal cost of capital 3, which will be 35% debt, 0.35. Now remember, debt is now 7.2%. We long ago left that cheapo debt behind. Plus 0.65, and now we're going to pay more. Because we're raising money from the external equity markets. 19.87%. So the marginal cost of capital after the second break point, what does it come out to? 15.44. So notice the marginal cost of capital is like stair steps. It rides along from zero to $714,285. At 14.45%. That's our cost of capital. Then, all of a sudden, when we spend our $714,286, the cost of capital jumps to 14.87%. And then we cruise along there at a flat cost of capital, spending money, until we spend our $1,538,462nd, at which point the cost of capital suddenly jumps again. So the marginal cost of capital is like a stair step. It goes along at a smooth level, and then at a break point it jumps, cruises along at a level, and then at the next break point it jumps. However many break points there will be that many jumps. So, however many breakpoints there will be one more marginal cost of capital. Let me make sure you're okay with that. You see that? However many breakpoints there will be one more marginal cost of capital. Okay, because you'll have that original cost of capital where everything is, you're just getting cheap debt and you're using the money that you earned from last year. So now, if you got through that, the rest of it is actually pretty darned easy. Now, an IOS, an investment opportunities schedule, is a table where all you do is take the original table of investment opportunities and rates of return and rearrange it from the highest rate of return project down to the lowest. So you look on the front of this worksheet, and you will see the IOSs as they came to you. We had Project A, cost $500,000, brought return 16%. Project B, $1.6 million, brought in 12%. Rearrange them from the highest rate of return project down to the lowest. Don't be sloppy on this step. Put in what the project is and how much it costs, and what the return is on the IOS schedule, one after the other, from highest to lowest. That is an IOS. And again, don't be sloppy on me. Don't be sloppy in your business work. Write it out. Now, if you do that, you'll of course see that the first row will be Project D, costing $1.5 million and returning 18%. On the second row, you should have Project A, costing $500,000, pulling 16% rate of return. The third row should be Project C, costing $600,000 and hauling into the cash drawer at a rate of 15%. And then Project B, 1.6 mil, bringing up the rear at 12% rate of return. Again, don't be sloppy on me. Put it down fully and comprehensively. Now, once you have done that, we can go to the part where we actually draw the graphs. And again, as I told you on Tuesday, I want you to use a ruler. Don't freehand on me. That will frost my boxers. Use a straight edge. And the first thing that I want you to do is I want you to draw in, graph the marginal cost of capital. It will be a stair step. It will look something like this. Now, first of all, choose your scale. On the y-axis here, which is your cost of capital axis, I've set it up so that you can do it by 1% increments. I'm sort of leading you through it. I won't do this when we get to an exam or a quiz, but I've put it so that you can get 20% going by 1% increments on the vertical axis, the cost of capital axis. Now, on the horizontal axis, I have made that one so that you can move in $500,000 increments. So that, in other words, the first tick mark would be 500,000, the second tick mark would be 1 million on that horizontal axis, the capital budget axis. So you'll need to give me your markers, not just me, but yourself, so that you can read off and put in the numbers, put in the graph accurately. And I strongly encourage you to be accurate, because in some cases, the crossing point of the IOS and the MCC graphs is really tight against a break point. Do it very carefully. And when you have gotten the scaling put in, you are then, I would strongly encourage you, like dotted lines, vertical dotted lines, put in the break points up from the horizontal axis. Put in your break points next as dotted lines or dashed lines. Or very, very thin straight lines. So that the first thing you do once you start to graph is you're going to lay in the two breakpoints here as dotted lines. And as I described them before, I put these up almost like poles. They'll help you do the next step. Put up the poles. Now, once you have done that, and I hope to God you have not gone any further unless you know what I'm going to say next, you will lay in the stair steps of the marginal cost of the capital usage. Up to $714,285.71, the first breakpoint pole that you have drawn, up to that level, what is your marginal cost of capital? What is it? Yeah, 14.45%. So up to that first pole, you've got a straight, flat line from 14.45%. And again, do it accurately and do it very straight. In other words, do not do this when you are drunk. Okay. I see many of you using your student IDs. Excellent. Just find your 14.45 and bring a straight line over right to the pole, okay? Did you follow that? Good. Excellent. That's, yeah. Go no further. Yeah.
$14,000.
Yeah.
Does that represent money that you're going through both with internal equity and?
Yeah, you're actually mixing.
Okay,
you need a $100 check today. We're going to give you $35 that we borrowed from the bank and $65 from our checking account at the bank. Yeah, yeah, it's a mix as you're flowing forward.
I
know. I know, right? No. I know, but that's not how it works.
Are you supposed to draw a vertical?
You draw
line?
The poles, like I drew right there, poles.
What
poles? Poles up from the break points, straight up. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly how you do it. That's what I was talking about. Exactly. Yeah. And don't go no further.
500,000. But does it fit?
1.52, 2.53, 3.5, 4. No, you'll see.
Because, isn't it straight line?
That's 714,000. That's not even a million.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Okay. Drawing your poles, your break points. Your first break point was at 714,000, okay? Mm-hmm. See it? So what I want you to do is find, you got to scale your axis, like 500,000, 1,000,000. 1.5 million, 2 million, and then you bring it up from that first break point, like a long, high pole. Then you do the same for the second break point you found, like high, just straight up from the vertical axis, from the horizontal axis, okay? Do those, and then you can do your first 14.45 and just bring it straight out until it hits the first break point and you stop dead. You got it on that? Yeah. Good. How are you doing? Bring yourself. Okay. Now I want you to take your first break point, which was 714,000, and I want you to draw a pole straight up from there. And do the same with the $1.5 million, whatever that was, that second break point here.
Okay.
And just draw a straight line, straight up.
Okay.
And then all you have to do from there is say, all right, 14.45, I'm going to just draw a straight line, and it's going to hit that pole, the first pole. It'll stop that first pole.
Okay.
That's all I need you to do. Is just do that first one, and you're on your way. Are you following? Grr, grr, ha, grr, grr, grr.
You wanted the iOS.
No. So. Yeah, and put in your second break point, too. The second break point. You got to put in your breakpoints. That's the first thing you want to do is get those poles up so that you know where the walls are as the marginal cost of capital comes flowing through. Work it, girl. That's fine. That's perfect. No.
That's not right.
No. Grr. It's at 714. Look here.
Oh.
See, I want you to use your breakpoints for the poles. The breakpoints are like walls that are coming up as capital, as your expenditures.
Are my numbers okay?
Yes. Yeah, perfect.
Okay, so I make these poles and then.
Okay, then 1%. Okay, make those poles.
Yeah.
And then take your first marginal cost of capital, 14.45, a horizontal line, and let it slam into the pole and stop there. You've hit your first wall. Just draw 14.45 horizontally over and let it hit the pole and just stop. Do you see what I just said there?
Yeah.
Okay,
how do you get the poles there?
That's these guys.
Right there.
The vertical lines, just draw vertical lines up from the horizontal axis there. Are you good on it?
And then we just take 14, we take each one of these and
just do the first one for me first. Just do the 14.45, run it to the pole and let it hit the pole and you stop there. Yeah.
Am I on the right track here?
Well, you're way ahead of me. You're way ahead of me. But you're fine where you are. You're fine. You're fine.
Just wait.
Yeah, you're way ahead of where I am now. Yeah. Grr. Yeah.
This right?
Exactly.
Is this straight enough for you?
Son, I haven't had a non-straight day of my life, and I don't recall. And so, of course, there were a couple of drunken sprees, but anyway. Yeah, that looks good. Yeah, yeah, and you did it accurately. That's exactly what I want.
Perfect.
Exactly.
You don't want this.
No, that sucks. I mean, that's your rule. What is it? You photocopied a ruler?
Oh, gave us the base class.
Oh, that's sad, man. You know, I'm gonna put this up on the web tonight so you can print this out again. So you can, yeah, because Mom's gonna put this on the fridge. You know, really.
The third line just goes like that, then, right? Just without.
Yeah, they just keep riding up one. Okay, now you've got your first marginal cost of capital hits. The first pull, the first marginal cost of capital was 14.45%. So what's going to happen at this point is that you're going to ride that dog, it's going to hit that pull, and then all of a sudden your marginal cost of capital jumps to 14.87%. So what will happen then is that this jumps like a stair step up to here, and it rides at 14.87%. until it hits the second wall, your breakpoint two, like stairs. And then once it hits that second breakpoint wall, it pops one last time up to 15.44% at that second breakpoint wall, and then it rides from there. That is a marginal cost of capital curve. And if you did it carefully, it will look so good that you can put it on Facebook. You know, that would be kind of cool, have a mass Facebook posting of MCCI iOS curves. No one, that'd be lame. Okay. I'll be checking your Facebook accounts tonight to see if any of you actually put it up there. Where the hell was I? Okay, now, you've done that part, and the last thing on the graph is to do the investment opportunity schedule, which will be like a downward stair step. You're going to start with that highest project. How far out do you run that 18% line? 1.5 million. So what's going to happen with the iOS is that you're going the other way. You have Project D, and for God's sake, label the projects, because when you're finished, you'll have to go back and look to see which project was which. Project D burned up $1.5 million. And then all of a sudden, Project D is over. You slap each other on the ass, you do the belly bumps and all that, and then you say it's time for the next project. Okay, the next project will have a return of, what was it, 16%. Now that project is going to be a straight line at 16%, running out for another 600,000. Was it 600,000 on that second project, or what, 500? For another 500, that was Project A. For 500,000 more. So by the time you're finished with Project A, you will be out at $2,100,000. And then you're finished with Project A. And what I'm drawing here is not what you'll see. I'm just giving you sort of the idea. Then you'll take on Project C next, which had a return of 15%. Run that one out. Project C cost $600,000. That was the $600,000 one. So you'll run out $600,000 more on a level line at 15% on Project C. So by the time you're finished with Project C, you will be clear out to $2.7 million. Okay? See how it's accumulated, how much you're spending. And then finally, you will drop down to a 12% return to do $1.6 million final dollars to do Project B. Now, once you have done that, and if you've done it carefully, what is the last project that you complete above marginal cost of capital to pay for the project? Any others?
D
and A. A is the last. I'm sorry, I asked you the last. Yeah, A is the last. So, you will do projects D and A because you finish them before the cost of capital goes above the return to the project. If a project starts out returning above the marginal cost of capital, but ends below the marginal cost. In other words, if the marginal cost of capital jumps above the return of the project during the project, you don't even start the project. It's only projects that are completed above the MCC staircase that you take on. Because I'm your financial manager in your company, you start, for example, project C, and the cost of capital is below what you're going to return from the project, but the last dollar, you come back to me, you say, I need $20 more to finish this project. Well, $20 more is going to cost me 16%, and your project returns 15%. No, I'm not going to write you that check. You were stupid to start it. You take on the projects only when they can be finished above the marginal cost of capital for the rate of return on the project. So in this case, your return on the project are better than the marginal cost of capital for projects D and A. You will take projects D and A. You will not worry about the other two projects. They're gone. They're over. You don't even start them. Do you see how this all works together at the end? Everything I was doing along the way actually had the purpose of getting the answer, what projects do I do among the opportunities available to me? And you have now made it through one of the hardest things in this course. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.